That's a very pop, a pop song that we like very much here in Voces Feministas, and we like to share. So this is Guille, and we're going to start, Guille Quiroz, and we're going to start our interview for the first hour here in KUNM Voces. And we have with us Cecilia Portal, the director of Valley Community Interpreters, and Ruth Lopez, who is a qualified medical interpreter. And, well, you know, you may say, what is this about? Why should we be talking about this? Well, it's it can be seen from different perspectives. It's an organization that is doing a lot of effort to create this presence and, you know, have the recognition of medical interpreters as a career here in our state, be respected and being discussed among our communities and the medical system. For people that don't speak English, people that you know, there's a lot of people that, you know, you go to the doctor and the doctors may not understand the patient. So it's a whole issue, a whole position to, you know, push for this. And that's the role of BCI, the way that I understand it, right, Cecilia? And we also have Ruth Lopez. Well, oh, ¿cómo están? How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Okay, so why don't we talk about VCI, Valley Community Interpreters, and we'll talk with Ruth about her experience as a medical interpreter, and, you know, you want to share us a little bit of your experience, Ruth? Okay, vamos, let's just go with VCI so we understand what VCI a little bit more.
So VCI stands for Valley Community Interpreters. And we started Valley Community Interpreters 3 years ago. I am an immigrant, and I'm a nurse. And of course, when you migrate, your degree is not recognized in this country, but I'm never going to stop being a nurse. And I always wanted to use my language and medical skills to support my immigrant community. And so we first started Valley Community Interpreters to train basically two groups. We train professionals in our program called Interpreting for Professionals course. And these are folks that are going to work as what is known in the profession as dual role interpreters. So they're going to do their job and interpret at the same time. So that is the first course. The second course is bilingual community interpreter training. And those are for bilingual folks who are interested in building a career in interpreting and work exclusively in interpreting. It is a longer course. That course is 80 hours. The professional course is 40 hours. And when we first started Valley Community Interpreters, it was really surprising to us how undeveloped the profession of community interpreting, which is what we do, is in our state. And it was kind of shocking because this is a multilingual state. It is a border state. And there are other fields in interpreting that are a lot more developed than community interpreting. Sign language and court interpreting. Those folks have been around a very long time. The profession of community and healthcare interpreters is fairly new and fairly young. The Code of Ethics was passed in 2004. So this is a young profession that we are starting to build in the state to meet the needs of the limited English proficient population in the state. So I am an over-the-phone interpreter myself, and the idea of Valley Community Interpreters came up because the companies that I work for, suddenly I get these kind of urgent emails of please log in, we have a high volume of calls. On one hand, and on the other hand, I kept hearing of the unemployment in the state, and I thought, why hasn't anybody put these two things together and create a source of work for bilingual people in the field of community interpreting? And community interpreting basically includes the fields of healthcare, social service, education, really any service provided to the community. Interpreting is really protected under two laws. And one is Title VI of the Civil Rights Act that basically says if your institution is receiving federal dollars, you cannot discriminate. And mm-hmm. in 1997, there was a lawsuit out of Florida that went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that language is part of national origin. And the second law is the Affordable Care Act that really requires language services to be provided by qualified interpreters. So when folks complete our course and pass the final exam, they become qualified interpreters and they will be eligible for the national certification exams, which is a separate process than what we offer at VCI. It's out of Washington, D.C. And
but it's a door opening for
the career. It's a first step towards their professional career in interpreting. Mm-hmm. And so VCI is now developing a language service agency because the idea was to train and be able to find work for graduates of VCI. The U.S. Labor Statistic Bureau has projected that the language service industry is going to grow 46% in the next 8 years. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge industry and a great opportunity for the state of New Mexico to start building the profession in the state, really because of our heritage and because of geographic location. New Mexico should be a leader in the language service industry.
Yeah. Well, I'm surprised that we're kind of behind, but it's great that Valley Community Interpreters are taking, the one of the leads to push this forward, right? And,
yes.
Besides the advocacy in this, in a sense, the advocacy for non-English communities, also to see it as the perspective of a career, that it's growing, it's needed, it's growing. So,
people don't realize that language is an enormous barrier for people's lives. When you don't speak the language of the service, you cannot access bank accounts. You can't rent a house. You can't go to the doctor. You can't buy a car. You can't.
Well, how can? Yeah. It's a complex issue. How can the medical service industry be efficient with our communities? They have that yeah. obligation, that responsibility. If you're bringing a service, a medical service, or whatever other service, if you want to market, extend, you have to have people that are bilingual, that are trained, right?
Okay. And it's the law.
Okay, Ruth, how are you doing, Ruth?
Oh, very good. Thank you for having me here. It's a pleasure to be here and to be able to talk about my experience as a student, right?
Yeah.
As Guillermina said, my name is Ruth Lopez. I'm originally from Nicaragua. I had my degree there in sustainable tourism. And then for family reasons, I moved here. And when I came here, I had to face the reality that all of us immigrants have to face, right? Start all over. So when I came here, I didn't speak any English 5 years ago, right? And I decided that, and I was determined to learn the language, to be able to integrate in the system and the culture, to work, just for my own, personal satisfaction. So here I am, and 4 years later, I had a good English, I will say, enough to function in this society, right? And then I just wanted to find a career for me because I was working, having some jobs, but I want a profession, and I wanted and not just a profession that it will bring me, a paycheck. I want to find a career or a profession that it will be not just fulfilling for me, but it will help the community somehow, give something to society, feeling that I'm doing something, with my life, not just receiving a paycheck. So in that process, I was looking for bilingual jobs. I said, you know, I speak these both languages, you know, so bilingual jobs. And I was looking or trying to find a job or trying to find a way how to serve with my two languages, right? So, and that's how I came across. I remember
looking in. How did you find out about BCI?
Yes, I remember I was looking in Craigslist, you know, so I'm going to do an advertise for Craigslist. So I was looking at Craigslist and for jobs, you know, bilingual jobs, and I read about Bali community interpreters, and I said, "Oh, this is interesting." I went to the webpage and I read everything about Bali community interpreters, and that, you know, actually, you know, just got my attention, and I said, "I want to be an interpreter." So I took it for granted, you know, I'm bilingual, so I can do this. I went, and then, you know, I just contact Bali community interpreters, you know, and I, that's how I met Cecilia, you know, I talked with her, and then I was following, I went to the orientation, you know, and, you know, I passed the test, and here I was in the program.
Was it a hard test?
No, I mean, you know, it's more about my my bilingual skills, right? Okay. That was the test, okay. Right? So, and this is the perception that maybe everybody will have, or maybe not everybody, but a lot of us will think that if you're bilingual, being an interpreter is easy. That's it, you know? So I started the course. I was very excited about, and in the middle of the course, I was really, really worried and nervous because I didn't realize that this is a profession and actually has all the complexities that any other profession will have. You know, not just the ethics, but all the technique you have to apply and then face in real life too. So I remember calling Cecilia in the middle of the course, telling her, Cecilia, I think I'm going to quit this course and I'm just going to continue on the following course because this is very challenging.
So you think you thought that you couldn't make it?
I thought that I couldn't make it, right? And I remember her encouraging me, you know, and saying, Ruth, you can do this. You can learn the technique. You can do it. And so, and again, I was, okay, I said, I'm going to, you know. So that's why I want to encourage all these people who want to find a profession and want to help society and want to find something challenging too, because it's not just easy, right? As somebody will believe, right?
But people can make it, people
right? Yes, people can make it, you know. And then when I graduated, I couldn't believe it, you know. I was so happy. I was determined. So, and here I am now. You know, I found a job. I'm working.
You're working already.
I'm already working.
So you've already done the service to
the medical.
Intermediate.
Yes. I'm working for a company. You know, I'm interpreting over the phone, and like I will say, like 70 to 80% of the phone calls are for medicals. You know, needs, but the other, you know, 20-30% is for services, you know, and like, we're going to talk about banks, you know, renting cars, you know. So, and that's why I want to actually clarify that being interpreter is not just only helping the immigrant or the you know, the community who don't learn English. But it's actually también also helping clients for American companies who have Latinos or Hispanic people who are customers or are employees.
Natives,
you know, I mean, this is not people only, like sometimes it's perceived that immigrants are only using the services or the benefits of the government. But, you know, they're actually producing. And I heard that, but I didn't realize it until I start working as an interpreter. You know, here we have people, you know, people who are drivers, you know, who rent cars, who are customers in banks. You know, there is, I mean, the industry or the work or the support that this hardworking community provide to the United States, I think, is sometimes, you know, overview, you know, like people don't actually realize.
Yes, it's I guess language is a huge barrier.
Yes.
Also among us to understand each other.
Exactly.
You know, culturally to live together, you know.
Yes, exactly.
I have come to the conclusion that communication is the most common of human behavior and the one we take most for granted. And really, in reality, communication is complex. Spanish, when people say I speak Spanish, there's like a million versions of Spanish. Even in Mexico, there's the Spanish of northern Mexico, the Spanish from south. So it's a complex issue. Before the profession was organized, you know, anybody would interpret. And I need to clarify that we're not translators, we're interpreters. And the difference is translation is written, interpretation is oral. Mm-hmm. So in the past, when there was a need, yes, the children, the janitor, the whomever was available would interpret, sometime with catastrophic results, because they didn't know the terminology, because when you have a child interpreting for a parent, it really raises a lot of issues of patient confidentiality, mm-hmm. Of accuracy. So at some point in time, the profession needed to organize in a way that the interpreters had the skills, the protocol, and more importantly, the terminology in both languages. So when you don't have that, you really put people at risk.
Yeah, there's also another perspective from this, because sometimes when you're bilingual and you're hired in the medical field, and I dare say this because that's been my experience, you're bilingual and you get pulled. You're in the front desk, you're a medical assistant. You're an administrator, you work at the medical archives, but because the staff knows that you're bilingual and there's a Spanish speaker or a Native American comes into the clinic and the doctor doesn't know the language, oh, they pull you.
Building a profession of interpreting is honoring those communities that speak a specific language. And it's giving them a place and it's giving them an understanding of their needs. And it's really honoring the fact that they speak another language, and that is perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And there are professional people who are there to assist them in communication. And so what an interpreter does is we facilitate understanding and communication. We're not parrots. We don't repeat words. We understand the message, and then we interpret. But that is not the case in some situations that are grave. And for me, one of the things that made it very clear of the gravity of communication is that I worked telephonically as an interpreter, and I was interpreting for a truck driver who was in South Dakota and broken down on a road in February. For that man, it was a life and death issue. So communication can be a life and death issue for people. And to know that you have people that are trained and have the skills to facilitate that communication for those people that are vulnerable, that have no other means really of communicating, is critical to our communities.
As I said previously, right, if you want a profession, if you want not just a paycheck, because, I mean, I'm really happy to receive a salary. You know, of course, we all need make a living, right? But I feel that I'm actually providing, I'm helping, you know, the community to get across to that barrier, not just mm-hmm. the language, but the culture also, mm-hmm. you know? So being able to connect, you know, these two cultures, the two languages, you know, to being able to help them, to assist them, and to feel fulfilled, you know, like that you are doing something back, you know, helping them. And as Cecilia said, you know, this is for some people, death of life, you know, I mean, this is very, very important. So, and that's why I just want to encourage all of this, you know, if you speak, you know, two languages and you want to help, you know, and you feel that you can, you know, help the society with these language, you know, barriers, you know, I will encourage you, because you can not just make a living, but actually, you know, feel that you are helping back. So, and it is important for all of us, you know, to prepare ourselves, to improve, to develop our skills, you know, and this is one way to do it. And I'm very happy, and I just still can't believe it, you know. That I made
And bring the best communication pro our people.
Exactly.
Pro our communities.
Pro our communities, exactly.
You know, now that you come to the doctor, you come to a service and you don't, it doesn't happen. Well, medical service is a need.
Exactly.
You know, it's not just buying something, it's a need.
It's a need.
And why would somebody have to walk out of the doctor without being able to tell the doctor, this is how I feel?
Exactly.
And then the doctor doesn't know what to do.
Right.
The diagnosis may be not correct.
Exactly.
Because there was no communication.
There was no, or maybe, right, yeah. Or maybe it was, you know, a misunderstanding. That's why preparing yourself is important,
yes,
because then you learn the tools, you know, how,
yes,
to, or in technique, mm-hmm, how to learn, you know, to be just a bridge in the communication, because the communication is between the patient and the doctor and not about us as a, you know, as a bilingual or as an interpreter.
Exactly.
It's between them and put them exactly in the same level of understanding.
Yes. Okay. Well, mm-hmm, let's close our
yes,
our conversation. I think it's been pretty interesting here.
Yes.
And how can we, if people think about this, our listeners think about this, they can spread the word too, but if they want to talk about it and maybe have questions about VCI, how can they?
So we have a website, and the website is vcinmfornewmexico.org. And you can reach us that way. And we have the schedule for our courses next year. We're going to do 5 courses for professionals and 3 for bilingual community. And you can also reach us by phone on our phone, 505-596-0592. And again, that website is vcinm.org.
Anything else that you want to say, Ruth?
No, just to encourage, you know, to, you know, prepare yourself, and, you know, and if you know, I was afraid all, you know, or insecurities as immigrant here and facing, you know, I mean, I was able to come, you know, to get through that. So I just going to say to everybody,
yes,
if I was able to do it, you can do it too.
And this is a change that needs to happen in el siglo XXI, you
right,
know, language needs to be más igualitaria, you know,
exactly,
more equality on our language. And,
right,
you know, we have the right to keep our language.
Right, exactly.
And there's an obligation from the medical system and the government to respect our languages and have interpreters.
Right, absolutely.
And interpreters that are trained, certified, and professional.
Right, exactly.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.